Speaking of cemeteries, they can feel like creepy places, but they're also a way to remember history. The Union Cemetery in Kansas City is the city's oldest public cemetery, and it's the final resting place for some of the area's early pioneers, veterans, and others who left their mark. We're joined this morning by Kevin Fuel. He's president of the Union Cemetery Historical Society. The society will be launching a book about the cemetery next Tuesday at the Plaza Branch of the Kansas City Public Library, and we'll talk a bit more about the book in just a few minutes. And Kevin, so good to have you here. Welcome.
Thank you very much, Steve, for having us.
Well, why is a cemetery called Union Cemetery?
Well, that's a question we get all the time.
Yeah,
and
I bet.
Everybody thinks it's a Union cemetery for the Union soldiers during the Civil War.
Right.
Actually, the cemetery was founded in 1857 in the early—
Before the war.
Mm-hmm. In the mid-1800s, there was a cholera epidemic that swept through the big town of Westport at that time, and the little settlement at the river's landing, which was called the town of Kansas, mm-hmm. wasn't even incorporated by then at that time. Cholera epidemic swept through, killing half of both of the towns and filling up the cemeteries. So more cemetery space was needed. And a farmer who happened to have land in between the two towns, a fellow by the name of James Hunter, he donated 55 acres for the use of a cemetery.
Hmm.
The towns were trying to figure out which town would use it as their cemetery, and they decided both towns should use it. So that's why it became the first union between the two towns,
huh.
And that's how it got its
name. That's a good story.
Yeah.
And before we get too far here today, it's located where?
It's located just south of Crown Center.
Yeah.
South of Crown Center and just east of the Federal Reserve Building.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's such a beautiful place.
It is. It's a lovely place in a little valley and it goes up a hill to 30th Street up into the Union Hill neighborhood. And just a beautiful place.
You know, back in the day, I mean, could anybody be buried there, or were there exclusions that were sort of in effect at the time?
As far as I know, there weren't any exclusions. However, there were different sections of the cemetery.
In explain that to me.
Well, the African Americans had their own section of the cemetery, and then the only exclusion at the time were Chinese people mm. from the Orient. There was a number of Chinese who came here on the railroads west from they came east from California,
right,
and they got off the train here in Kansas City, but they weren't allowed a place to bury their dead.
Hmm.
Yeah.
There are a lot of soldiers. We mentioned the name of the cemetery isn't really connected to the Civil War, but there are a lot of soldiers and veterans buried in the cemetery. And which wars are represented there, Kevin?
We have veterans represented from the Revolutionary War to Vietnam. We have one Revolutionary War soldier one Vietnam soldier. Most of the soldiers that are buried there, veterans, are from the Civil War. Soldiers who fought on both sides. And then we have a smattering of War of 1812, Spanish-American War, World War I and II.
But why is there a Revolutionary War soldier buried there?
Well, he came west after the war as a very old man.
So he didn't die during the war.
He didn't die during the war, no.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As a matter of fact, we actually have only one soldier in the cemetery who actually died in battle, and that was a World War II airman who died in a plane crash in France, and his body was returned and buried in Union Cemetery.
Hey, is it possible for folks who aren't familiar with the cemetery to go there and figure out where these people are?
We actually have guided tours of the cemetery, self-guided tours,
mm.
and we have maps available that people can pick up at the cottage and take the tours.
And you enter the cemetery where?
It's off a little road called Warwick Traffic Way. If you go to the Federal Reserve Building there on Main Street, which used to be called 29th Street, but now there's a little arrow pointing to Warwick Traffic Way as opposed to 29th Street. And you head east, and it goes around, and the cemetery's right there, the entrance.
Yeah. What does the large granite obelisk in the cemetery represent there?
Well, if you're talking about the one about the soldiers,
yes.
It's a Confederate War memorial. It's basically to memorialize those who lost their lives on the Confederate side during the Battle of Westport.
Hmm. And why did they wind up there?
Well, They either died in battle and weren't picked up by the soldiers or by their fellow soldiers, or they were in a prisoner of war camp, wounded and put in a prisoner of war camp, and they died in the prisoner of war camp, and they were interred in Union Cemetery.
And we don't know even today exactly where they were buried, right?
That's correct. There are some stories that they're buried in a mass grave near the obelisk, but there are other stories saying that they're just buried without markers throughout the cemetery.
Why don't these soldiers have their own individual grave markers, Kevin?
Well, a lot of times, back in those days, they could have, but it would have been a wooden marker, you know. So they might have just placed a wooden marker at the grave. And over a period of time, those disintegrate. And without anybody to take care of the graves, then you lose where they are.
Yeah. And wasn't it the U.S. government that decided to erect this monument to Confederate soldiers back like in 1911? What prompted that decision?
Well, it was the Daughters of the Confederacy. Now, you have to remember, in 1911, in the early 1900s, we're only 50, 60 years away from the Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
So there were some older ladies who were daughters of the Confederacy, whose relatives fought in that war, who asked the federal government to please erect this monument, and the government obliged.
And moving past the soldiers then, who are some of the most prominent Kansas Cityans who are buried at Union Cemetery?
Well, you just go from the founding of Westport, John Calvin McCoy. The fellow who actually founded the town of Westport is buried there.
Okay.
He was, and he also platted out the town site that became the town of Kansas. Johnston Likens, he was a Baptist Indian missionary over on the Shawnee side. He's the fellow who sold the land to John Calvin McCoy.
Mm-hmm.
George Caleb Bingham, the famous Missouri artist, is buried there.
Absolutely.
Alexander Majors, the founder of the Pony Express, and Russell Majors and Waddell Freighting Company along the Santa Fe Trail. He's buried in the cemetery.
And the Majors' house is on Warnell Road, right?
Actually, the Majors' house, that's the Warnell house that you're speaking of.
Okay.
Majors' house is actually on Ward Parkway.
Right.
Headed about halfway from the plaza to Ward Parkway Shopping Center, it's that big white house right in the middle of the road.
Yeah. So is the cemetery at capacity?
It is. We have maybe one or two burials a year if there's a member of a family who has a family plot there and there's room in the plot.
Hmm.
But in terms of new burials and burial space, we're pretty well full up.
So do people just, you know, show up and spend time in the cemetery? How are the grounds used these days? What's your sense?
Well, just like last Friday, for instance, I was giving two tours last Friday for homeschool kids. I gave a tour for about 70 kids in the morning and about 20 kids in the afternoon and their parents. But in the middle of that, there was a school group from St. Elizabeth's School who came in with their parents and teachers. And they come there every year, and it's their field trip for the autumn. They come in, they have a scavenger hunt, they go look up famous people, they bring the information back, they have lunch there, and it's a great afternoon. They have kids like that all during the year, because whenever they study Kansas City history, they come to Union Cemetery.
And that's the closest they're going to get to some of those famous people.
It's you couldn't come any closer.
Yeah.
And then we have people from Hallmark, the Federal Reserve, other businesses, the law offices down around Crown Center, they come in over lunch hour and use it as a jogging track. We see people running through the cemetery all the time.
And that's okay.
And that's fine. I mean, it's owned by Public Works, Kansas City, Missouri, and it's maintained by the Parks and Recreation Department. So it's basically a city park.
Hmm. And people in the neighborhood, you were saying, use it that way.
Exactly. You have people in there walking their dogs during on leash. Mm-hmm. During the day, every day of the week, they come in, they'll sit, and we have picnic tables across from the Sexton's Cottage. They'll come and have a lunch.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great place. It sounds like a joke, but it's probably the most peaceful place these people are going to find in the middle of the city.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, people are so finicky. We're going to talk, you know, later on this hour with Caitlin Doty about death and dying and sort of people grappling with that. But people have such finicky ideas about cemeteries and the proper way to behave when you're in a cemetery. And are some of those rules relaxing? The notion that kids and people can go up there and jog or have lunch, you're saying that's just absolutely fine. I don't know why it wouldn't be, but so many folks seem to have funny feelings about that.
Well, we've gotten different attitudes about cemeteries and about death and dying over the years. I think it's because we're all afraid to die, you
mm-hmm.
know. But back in the days of small towns and uh, and and places to go. I mean, that is what people did on Sunday afternoon.
Yeah.
Families would get together, and they would put a picnic lunch together on a Sunday, and they would go out and they would have picnics in the cemetery, because most of the times they didn't have a park, and if they wanted to be outside, that's where the land was.
Mm-hmm.
So they would either sit near their relatives' graves, or there would be a big open space there, and they would enjoy the day. And we hope that that's what people do at Union Cemetery.
Well, what happened then over the years? If people used it that way back in the day, why did it change?
Well, I think just over a period of time, of course, people would move away, so they wouldn't have a relationship to a cemetery anymore.
Yeah.
That's part of the situation we have with some of the destruction of stones and that sort of thing in the cemeteries, because there's no individual to take care of them anymore. But also, it's just a matter of we've gotten so used to living that we're not comfortable with death and dying anymore.
That's really interesting.
And in a place like Union Cemetery, death isn't celebrated. Life is celebrated, in the stones and the iconography on some of the on monuments that we see. The Confederate monument isn't a monument to those people, the death of those men. It's to the life that they led. And it's that way throughout the cemetery.
Yeah. Kevin Fuel is our guest. He's president of the Union Cemetery Historical Society. We're talking about Union Cemetery, just located just south of Crown Center. Kevin, what's your own connection with the cemetery, and how did you get involved with it?
Well, my wife and I moved to Union Hill neighborhood in 1994, and we were walking our dog through the cemetery one day, and we noticed all these famous people that were buried there, all these historic
yeah.
figures.
Yeah.
And I had my own theatrical production company at the time, Missouri Legends Productions, and we did plays based on famous Missourians. And I thought, this is a great play. This is a great play. I mean, if you're familiar with Edgar Lee Masters' piece, Spoon River Anthology, it's about people in a cemetery and about people talking about their lives,
mm-hmm.
people that are buried in that cemetery.
Yeah, sure.
And so I went to the Historical Society board, and I proposed this play, and they let me write it, and we produced it, and it was kind of a success. We did it for school kids, and then we did it one day for the general public, and they asked me to be on the board, and that's how I got started.
Off you go.
Yeah.
So you must get there quite often because you live so close by.
I'm there every day, every other day, depending on what's going on.
And what do you do?
Well, I answer the phones. You know, I check messages.
Is there an office there in the cemetery?
Uh-huh, there is, in the mm-hmm. Sexton's Cottage. Yeah, the mm-hmm. office, the Historical Society office is there. If I'm feeling like I've got some energy, I'll go out and I'll move stones around to where I'll straighten stones up a little bit. I'll just walk around and do what I can do. I also write the newsletter for the Historical Society, so I'm there getting information for the newsletter. And we also, the board actually raises money for projects in the cemetery.
Yeah. Yeah, there are people there, buried there. I'm thinking about everyday folk whose stories are probably deserve being told here. I'm thinking of one, Hattie Drisden Kearney.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about Hattie Drisden Kearney.
Well, it's a really interesting story.
Yeah, it is.
Back before the Civil War, Hattie came to this part of the country in chains. She was an African-American girl of 11 years old. She came from the East Coast to be sold on the Westport Courthouse steps. Well, it was around Christmas time, and Charles Kearney, one of the movers and shakers of Westport at the time, he happened to be walking by the slave auction. Well, Hattie saw him, and she called to him. He said, "Sir, would you please bid on me? You've got a kind face. I would like for you to bid on me and buy me."
Wow.
He said, "Well, Kearney said, I'm not a slave owner. I don't buy slaves." And she said, "Please, please, there's this man over here who's really looking at me, and he doesn't look like he's a very nice person, and I would really like for you to, I don't want him to buy me." So Charles Kearney thought about it, and he started bidding on her. Well, it wound up being between the two men, Charles Kearney and this other guy, and Charles Kearney won the auction at $1,000. For an 11-year-old girl.
Serious money back then.
Serious money.
Yeah.
Well, according to the family, the stories that the family told, he let her free. He took her down off the courthouse steps and said, "You're free to go. I'm not a slave owner. I don't own slaves." She said, sir, I'm 11 years old. I have no family. I'm not even from around here. What am I supposed to do? So Charles and his wife took her into their household. His wife taught her how to cook and clean and take care of the kids. And she remained with the Harris Carney family for three generations, taking care of three generations of the Carney Harris family. At one point, they asked her to take the family name. She agreed. And when time came for her to die, she had plenty of opportunity to leave, but she decided to stay with the family. When the time came and she passed away, this family demanded that she be placed in the family plot in the white section of the cemetery. And she was the first African-American to be put in the white section of the cemetery, buried in the white section of the cemetery.
That's a great story.
Yeah, it's really... When we used to do Voices from the Past, the play that we talked about, that was the favorite story of everybody who came through was Hattie's story.
That's a great story.
Yeah.
Union Cemetery is our topic this morning. If you want to join our conversation with your questions for Kevin Fuel about the cemetery, how it works, 816-235-2888 is our phone number here. Again, 816-235-2888. Anybody else come to mind, a story you'd want to share from the cemetery who just stands out to you?
Well, he was kind of a mover and shaker. He was on the city council for a while, but a fellow by the name of John Taylor. He was a Civil War veteran.
Mm-hmm.
He was actually he was in the Battle of Lexington, and he was fighting for the Union. Well, he was captured by the Southern soldiers and forced to take an oath saying that he wouldn't fight against the South again. His shoes were taken from him, and he was made to walk all the way back to Kansas City barefoot.
Wow.
Well, as soon as he got back, he joined up again and went out to fight again. And then after the war, he was on the city council, but he also went door to door collecting books for the first library.
Huh.
So people like that, you know, it's one of the things that you find when you start researching the history of these people is that there is such an intense love of this area and wanting to make this area a better place that it's phenomenal what you find in the cemetery.
You know, Kevin, you mentioned the Sexton's Cottage and the fact that the Historical Society still has its office there. In 1889, the Sexton's Cottage caught fire, and many of the cemetery records were destroyed. What did that mean for the cemetery moving forward to have lost what I assume were very important documents back in those days?
Every burial record from 1857 to 1889 was lost.
Mm.
That's the reason the Historical Society got founded in 1984. An employee of the Parks Department received what records were there from 1889 until the time that he received them. And he got together a bunch of descendants of people buried in the cemetery and historians, and they started to recreate those records. So from 1889 until the early 80s, there were no records from back in those days. So it's very difficult. And of course, as I said, with people moving away from the area, there's nobody to talk to about the records.
And to what extent were you able to recreate and figure out who some of these people were?
Well, they've been able to do a lot.
Mm-hmm.
They were able to do a lot. But over a period of time, all those stories just go away. I would say probably we still have more than half of those early records that are still lost and will never be found.
How many folks are buried at the cemetery?
We have roughly, what we consider roughly about 55,000 souls buried in Union Cemetery.
55,000.
Yeah. And you know, you've been in the cemetery.
Yeah.
It's not that big of an area.
Is that a typical number for a cemetery that size, or is it crowded or
it's pretty crowded. The spots are pretty close together in certain places.
Yeah.
But I'd say that's pretty typical for something that size.
Yeah. Union Cemetery, just south of Crown Center, is our topic here. Let's go to some phone calls. Mara from Lenexa. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi.
That era was a time when many children passed away. Are there children buried in that cemetery?
We have several sections of the cemetery that are devoted to just children and babies. As I said in the cholera epidemic, it took almost all of the children in Westport. And then we've had several flu influenza epidemics that have gone through as well, and which, again, children and elderly are the most vulnerable for those. And so we have at two or three sections of the cemetery devoted to babies and children.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, thank you, Mara. And we have an email here from Rich from Union Hill who writes us this: my wife and I love to sit on our balcony and look out at the cemetery. It's especially beautiful in winter after a new snow. Everything is covered in white. It's like an Ansel Adams picture. It's also a peaceful place to walk through or just sit on some of the benches there, which I guess is sort of what you were saying there.
Exactly,
too.
Exactly.
Yeah. I want to get to the book that you've written here. Tell us about the book. It's coming out soon. It's titled Kansas City's Historic Union Cemetery, Kevin. Besides yourself, there are 10 contributors from all walks of life who have written for this book. What is their connection to the cemetery, and how were they chosen to take part in the book?
Well, Bruce Matthews, on our advisory board.
And so closely connected to the Elmwood Cemetery.
That's correct.
Such a great guy.
That's correct.
Yeah.
And, of course, one of the better photographers in town.
Yes, absolutely.
He took all the photographs in the book. And Judith King, who is a member of our board, they decided that it was important for Union Cemetery to have its own book. And so they put together the concept for the book, the chapters, and then they came up with the authors as well, Bruce and Judith.
Yeah.
Wrote certain people, asked them to be involved, and I think we got a pretty good list of authors.
Well, the photographs are just terrific. I've seen some galleys online. There are chapters on the cemetery's history, the area's founders and leaders who are buried there, as we've talked about here today, Kevin, the wars that have seen soldiers laid to rest at Union Cemetery. How long did it take to plan this book, and what was the goal of doing it? What are you trying to do here?
Well, it was over a year. We've been working on the book since early last summer of 2013.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been going on for quite a while. And the goal is to increase awareness of the cemetery.
Yeah.
As we talked off air, there are people that I talked to about the cemetery that said, where is that? What is that? I don't know anything about it. And people that come in for a tour or something, we didn't know this was here. You know, or we have a Memorial Day service every Memorial weekend. We're always getting people so it's to increase awareness for the cemetery.
Well, there will be a book launch for Kansas City's Historic Union Cemetery, Lessons for the Future from the Garden of Time. It'll be on Tuesday, November 11th at 6:30 at the Plaza Branch of the Kansas City Public Library. For more information or to grab a seat, go to kclibrary.org. There are some, not only words, but some beautiful photographs here, too. How many photos did you have to sort of go through to pick the ones you picked?
I think Bruce took thousands of photos. I mean, he was in the cemetery for weeks taking pictures, and he's taken pictures of the cemetery over the years, so he's gone through thousands of pictures.
Oh, he's so good at it too. Matthew from Kansas City, Missouri, welcome to the show, Matthew.
Hi, and thanks for having me.
Yeah.
I was just calling because I've been at the cemetery a bunch and think it's a neat place, and just wanted him to comment on the black part of the cemetery, which I know the cemetery used to run all the way to 27th and all the way over to Maine. And when they put that way for Grand to go over to the east, they ended up, I guess, just using the black part of the cemetery. And there was a bunch of controversy whether they'd move the bodies or not move the bodies. I'm just curious what the word is on that.
How much time have you got?
I'll give you a minute.
Okay. You're right. It used to be a big square, the cemetery did. Its western boundary was Main Street. Its eastern boundary is what is now Gillum Road. And its northern boundary was 27th Street. So it was a big square. And one of the African-American sections of the cemetery is now where Hallmark's parking lots are and where McGee Traffic Way is, that little angled street that goes down there.
Right.
Yeah.
And the story is that when they were building that road and that the city took that portion of the cemetery, I don't know if they didn't realize that people were buried there or what, but African-Americans would sit on the hill that is now part of Hallmark's parking lots and watch them grade the road. Well, there was a road grader from Wichita that came in, and he was digging the road up, and he saw all these people yelling and screaming at him to stop, and he turned around, and he saw all these bones.
Oh, geez.
And he was digging up the relatives of these people that were on the hill.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, he was so freaked out by it, he turned off his road grader, got down off the road grader, went back to Wichita, and he didn't come back until the trial.
The trial for?
For the lawsuit.
Oh,
that,
really?
That was filed against the historic, the Cemetery Society for, or association, I mean, to for giving up that land.
And were the bodies who were dug up, were they reinterred then at, later on at the cemetery?
Well, or? As the story has it, and you can look it up in old archives in the files at the Missouri Valley Room, what they did was they waited until all those people left, and they put the bodies in dump trucks and dumped them in the river.
God, that's what I had heard.
That's progress.
Yeah. Matthew, thanks for bringing up that story. That one hurts a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah, it does.
You bet. Again, a book launch for this new book on Union Cemetery, Kansas City's Historic Union Cemetery Lessons for the Future from the Garden of Time. It'll be Tuesday, November 11th, a week from today at 6:30 at the Plaza Branch of the Kansas City Public Library. More information, go to kclibrary.org. And Kevin Fuel, so good to have you here. Thanks for some great stories and a good conversation.